Orlando Smith joins us on Sports Byline, going into his second season as the head basketball coach at Texas Tech, and of course his 24th season overall as the head coach. He was the head coach at Tulsa, Georgia, Kentucky, and Minnesota, and he led Kentucky to the national championship, and he has gone to the NCAA tournament 17 times and has 18 seasons with 20 or more wins. Who was the last person that ever called you Orlando? Was it your 10th grade teacher?
It's been a while. Orlando, I guess it probably was my 10th grade teacher. You've done your homework, Ron, because her name was Jane Mattingly, and she didn't believe in nicknames. And schools had just been consolidated. They closed down George Washington Carver, and then everybody was, all the kids that were at George Washington Carver went to Great Mills High School, and that was the first time, you know, when integration was taking place. This is back in 66, 65, 66 in Maryland. But it was, she was the last one to call me Orlando.
Well, for other people around the country, you know him better as Tubby Smith. And you were one of 17 children in the family. And I'm just wondering, that dynamic has always, you know, always impressed me and had always been fascinated with it. Tell me a little bit about the dynamic of a family that big.
Well, first, it's a blessing, you know, that to have relatives, because, you know, you can raise one another. And there's a lot of people, and I was blessed to have a mom and a dad in the home. And growing up in those times, you know, relatives were around, and you didn't have to, there was not a big worry about safety and the things you have to deal with today. You know, there was always work to be done because we grew up on a farm. But you can imagine with 12 sisters and 4 brothers, there's a lot of give and take, but there's a lot of love and sharing going on in the household. So I was very blessed to be loved by so many.
Where did basketball come into your life, and how did it come into your life?
Well, you know, you make me want to think about it, man. I remember my dad buying a rim for us because we were all playing in the woods. We had a corn house. Now, you have to understand, a farm, a lot of people don't understand, it's where the wood pile, a corn house, a meat house, an outhouse. Now, all those things are well, but my oldest brother, Smitty, who was a principal in Calvert County, still lives in Calvert County, Maryland, but he was my role model. He was an idol, and he was very athletic. Although he didn't go to school on a basketball or athletic scholarship, I had another brother who went on a football scholarship. But he, and then my 9th grade year, Cecil Short, who was the math teacher at George Washington Carver, asked my dad if I could come out for the basketball team. My dad was a school bus driver at the time. I remember Mr. Short coming to the bus, and he says, "Mr. Smith, I think if you let that boy play, you know, he's a pretty good athlete." And my dad said, "Well, he still has to get his chores done." And then, hence, that's when I became, really, I guess, passionate and addicted to basketball and sports.
One of the things I've always heard, Tubby, about large families and particularly African-American families is there was a great emphasis on education. I don't know that anybody saw to it as a means to an end for something like professional basketball, but education, am I correct in that? Was it that way in your family?
Oh, absolutely. My grandmother, Martha Green Barnes, was a school teacher. So my mother, rest her soul, she passed back in November, my dad, but they both only had like 9th grade education. But at that time, in those times, you know, they read a lot, read the newspaper, up to date on all the current events, but they really made sure that we all finished high school. We all had an opportunity to go to college. Some decided not to. Some got married. Some moved on to other roles. Some started school and didn't finish. But we all had that because my dad, when he came back from the war in 1943, after being wounded in Sicily, I think he just started having, they didn't have TV back there, obviously, so he started having children. But education was critical. I mean, and you're right about the African-American families, because that opportunity wasn't taken lightly, and you had to be serious about it, because now education was a way to a means to an end, to be able to get out of those type of surroundings and those circumstances. But I was blessed. Again, my mom and dad, my dad worked three jobs and provided for us. So I really, but getting an education was critical and was important.
You had an early challenge because you were offered a scholarship from the University of Maryland, but it was rescinded. And I think early challenges for young people say a lot about their character. How did you deal with that, and what was the reaction to it? Because you ended up going to High Point College.
Well, I was, you're disappointed. You're a little, because I remember my dad taking me up to meet the new coach at the time, which was Lefty Drysdale, took over for Frank Fellows. That was in 1969. And Lefty, he was coming from, Davidson, where he had had some outstanding teams, and, he had played it, went to Duke, so he knew about the ACC and what it was going to take to turn that Maryland program around. And he needed better players, obviously. And so, again, I remember I was very disappointed. I told my dad, I can do it. Just give me an opportunity. But he said, no, son, High Point has a four-year scholarship. That's where you're going to go to school. And it was the best thing that ever happened for me. And I think my dad understood, too, that, you have to find your niche, being from a large family. And I think he thought that the small environment, High Point, was better suited for me. And it, and your parents know a lot more. They're a lot more experienced, a lot more knowledgeable than we are at that age at 17, 18 years old.
You know, the other thing, too, Tubby, I know you started your head coaching career with 4 years at your alma mater high school, Great Mills High School, and I have always believed that coaches, either in football or basketball, who do some high school coaching, it really forms the foundation of coaching and makes them stronger and better, able to evaluate talent. Am I correct in that observation? Was that high school experience good for you in your coaching development?
It was good for you, but it's not necessary. In this day and time, there are a lot of guys that have been very successful that were not high school coaches. But it was good for me because, when you graduate college, I had a degree in physical education, and I always wanted to coach. But to get that, to be thrust in that at such an early age, to be the head coach immediately out of high school, you have some trials and errors. You're not exposed. You have time to develop a system, a philosophy, and to really make mistakes without them being magnified. So Great Mills High School offered me that opportunity, and there were some I'm grateful that I had that chance. And I had a chance to coach relatives. That was the toughest part when I went back to Great Mills. And so we had to get out of there. Once I got married, my wife was ready to move away from and get into a different environment.
Your first time at Kentucky, you joined the University of Kentucky head coach Rick Pitino, and boy, what a staff. A lot of people have gone through. That's been an interesting coaching tree. What was it like for you the first time?
Well, you don't really appreciate the history of a program until you're in the midst of a Kentucky or maybe a North Carolina or some of the other major programs. It could be Notre Dame football, but in Kentucky basketball, I had the good fortune, the bad fortune to have to coach against Kentucky 1 year when I was at VCU as assistant coach. Actually, we played in their UKIT tournament, and that was my first exposure. That was back in 1980, early 80s. But other than that, you didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to Kentucky. And one of the things that inspired me and motivated me was the 66 game that Texas Western, when they beat Kentucky for the NCAA championship. Now that was, and now going back as an assistant coach with Rick Pitino, Billy Donovan, Herb Sendek, Ralph Willard, there was a talented staff there, and you learn so much from a guy like, from a coach like Rick Pitino, who was actually younger than I was at the time, but his experience at Syracuse and with the New York Knickerbockers, with the Knicks, all those experiences. And so you learn a different system. You learn that there are other ways to coach the game and teach the game. And I learned an awful lot from all the outstanding coaches I had the good fortune to work with at Kentucky. I mean, at Kentucky. And then a guy like C.M. Newton, who was a basketball, you know, he's a Hall of Famer from Alabama at Vanderbilt, and now he's the AD and played at Kentucky on the national championship team. All those, he was a good mentor and a good advisor to me as well.
Tubby Smith has joined us. We're going to continue talking about his career as we move around the country and across the world as we continue with more of You and America's Sports Talk Show.